fleet carrier or slow train?
Clumsy twit gets fishy hit.
It's all fun and games until someone gets slightly electrocuted.
How to be a complete bar steward.
Lone utopia for those with claustrophobia.
Eggy poos. Their faces are covered in both.
You tad up, be serious!
The community, it's out there.
With Brewer Corporation finally completing work on the fleet carrier lifts that take you from your pad to the concourse, and access being granted to carrier commanders and visitors alike, squillionaires throughout the galaxy have been hopping on board their mighty megaships and jumping them over to the nearest Brewer brand QuickFit to bring a little bit extra to their concourse. There are rumours that the rush to open up these new areas have led to a few corners being cut, not least of which the lack of a guardrail in front of the captain's chair, which many have speculated will lead to a rash of lawsuits as clumsy commanders plummet forward onto the heads of their carrier crew. Brewer have stated that it is mandatory to be seated at all points that the carrier is moving, and if you don't watch where you're walking, that's just your own fault. They've pointed out for those attempting to use VR whilst they're exercising their space legs that they've only enabled it in your helmet when you're sitting as well to avoid any accidents. Which, of course, is not entirely true, as a few have already reported having a little accident when watching a carrier jump from the captain's chair, whether through excitement or bowel-emptying terror. Our reporter hasn't specified. Back on track, though, whether it's encouraging bartenders to take up new itinerant careers, installing their own military surplus store, or adding the botanical services of Vista Genomics, or even just sitting in the carrier commander's chair and watching the light show as it jumps between systems, complete with mega honks on the horn, there's been a whole lot of mass jumping around the galaxy in the last few days. Brewer Corporation, working closely with the Pilots Federation, spotted an immediate problem, though, and via remote control had to step in for a few days. It appears that tonnage of that size by that many ships opening which space portals was a tad dangerous. For starters, for small systems, having hundreds of fleet carriers arriving all at once and the subsequent space distortions caused would probably be a hazard to shipping. Then, of course, there was a small consideration for the local parking attendants, who, despite degrees in 3D orbital mechanics and juggling skills that would keep a troop of clowns busy for weeks, were rather concerned that fitting all that mass into a system would just give them a headache and end up with egg on their faces. Of course, the biggest concern was that ships might tear the arse out of the trousers of time, time being inextricably linked to space and made of fabric. The potential for the arrival of hundreds of carriers all at once in one location, or even just creating a network of tiny little tears all over the place, a bit like the genes of teenagers, which all appear to have survived bear attack, that would be bad. What horrors live in which space that might want to poke their heads out of the holes and devour humanity? Would whole planets get sucked up in a lightning-filled, swirly void? Would pilots end up living a real-life Lost in Space episode? Frightening stuff. So, Brewer and the Pilots Federation stomped hard on the brakes and instituted an extended jump preparation sequence, with some carrier commanders reporting waits of over an hour to get to the local chop shop. For our part, waiting over an hour to get somewhere's not really a problem, and faced with the kind of riptide that would cause you to soil your flight suit as face-eating aliens swarmed out of a big deep space anomaly, we'd rather just take our time.
It's a sad but inevitable fact of life that as you grow older, Things which were really once so much easier, take much longer, more effort, and are usually accompanied by pain. Climbing trees, recovering from drinking to excess, and remembering why you've entered the room are all much more difficult as maturity bites. No one knows this more than Major General Noctivagus, our very own creator of miniature masterpieces, and his problem, which must be familiar to oh so many of our listeners, was an insufficiency of gentleman's relish. Yes, Nocti was experiencing a lack of that tasty, salty substance which is the source of satisfaction for so many. And so he decided that there was only one thing for it. He needed assistance from arms that were not his own. In the guise of, "I'm just popping out to do a mission for Hutton," Nocti set out for Euclid Station, a Coriolis station over 4,000 light seconds from Lucian 145-1441, so he could do his business far away from prying and judgmental eyes. Nocti's ship was filled to the gills with fish. Yes, fish. How else could he get that umami hit for his horse's crumpet but to smear his load all over the rapidly moving arms? The objective? Stick a fishy load in just the right place and make sure that a good hammering turned the pristine, pristine contents into instant smashed fishy paste, whilst he could watch the activity from a safe distance. His special load, pre-prepared with a secret blend of spices, was loaded up and primed for ejection in front of the noob hammers. In his mind, the biggest fish smashers in the galaxy. This is where it gets just a bit sticky. Arriving sooner than anyone expected, least of all him, possibly due to over-eagerness or maybe just his failing eyesight, as the station's autogenous zones made contact with our military master mentor, Nocti exploded all over the place, making a hell of a mess and losing his full load, which was not his aim. As cargo drifted across the empty void, and Nocti was suffering from post-colloidal depression, a nearby dolphin started scooping up the containers, and the system chat contained one new message. So long, and thanks for all the fish.
Commander Velleran is currently assisting with inquiries after an incident which left Commander Rampage looking like one of those half-buried bodies that we're not supposed to be seeing anymore. According to eyewitnesses, Velleran was minding his own business, performing his daily ritual as a member of the Cult of Arth, where members must every day perform a ceremony that is accompanied by the sacred words, "Panel is cut, panel is down," which apparently appeases the goddess Sally, who is always depicted with many arms for hugging, and who can turn anything in the galaxy pink just by wishing it was so. Anyway, like I say, Velleran had just about finished cutting the panel when two careless children came running through the settlement like they didn't have a care in the world. Hove into view. Honestly, it was like something out of a comic. Rampage the Menace was being chased by Flossie the Minx to try and take his catapult and his matchbox containing something really disgusting that he found down the back of Cecil's pilot seat one day when he was piloting Cecil's ship, as the owner had to go for a little lie down following a particularly heavy lunch, a whole magnum. Well, the ice cream gets me like that as well. Anyway, the two of them were oblivious to the danger. Now, anyone who's ever seen the beginning of an episode of Casualty could guess what was going to happen next. Heedless of the warning being shouted in slow motion by Velleran, Rampage ran full pelt into the cutting beam, where he was ever so slightly electrocuted to the ground. And luckily Flossie managed to stop just in time, or the resulting image would have been just too graphic to show at this hour of the evening. Rampage's friends managed to kick his body out of the way so that the rest of the raid could continue. Hanky described Rampage's condition as acceptable.
For the budding planet-based spacehound, there are a number of routes to the stars. First, of course, there's the buy yourself a Sidewinder, get a pilot's license, and join the Pilots Federation as a fully qualified commander route. Full of danger, most of which in the early days is related to not being able to add up to big enough numbers to afford your rebuy, and gravity-related rapid unscheduled disassembly Plus, of course, the potential to be hyperdicted, impregnated, or just eaten by an alien species. Then there's the Non-Pilots Commission, taking a job as crew. Sign on with a member of the Pilots Federation, shave your head, get yourself some tattoos, and then sit back as the credits roll in without actually doing anything. Of course, every now and again, the commander will actually take you to a combat zone and stuff you into a tiny little fighter control bay, throw you around whilst people shoot at you, or occasionally leave you languishing in either a prison cell after accidentally shooting a friendly ship, or looking at the inside of your rapidly steaming up Remlock and hoping that they rehire you when they've recovered. But now there's an easier route. No qualifications needed, no effort needed, no work required. Sign up now to become a bartender on a fleet carrier. Manage your own bar. For a zero-credit sign-up fee but with no training, you can be given your very own space bar, complete with taps that don't pour, fridges that don't open, and a regular passing trade of people who just want to sit on the seats and attempt to sell you stuff. Well, of course, they can buy stuff from you as well, but due to union rules and Cheapskate Brewer Corporation not installing big enough cupboards, your inventory is limited to 100 items, and none of it is beer, which is odd for a company called Brewer, and no peanuts either. We suspect that this is how Jacques managed to afford those huge engines that he strapped to his station and jumped all the way to Colonia. Want to travel the stars in style and do absolutely no work for a living? Become a space bar steward now. As an aside, anyone signing up to be a bar person is asked to be on the lookout for a prankster from the Brewer Corporation who has swapped out a number of the chairs for holo projectors. There are reports that commanders attempting to sit upon their sit-upons have instead found themselves sitting inside holochairs, their faces looking a little surprised, and their ego, and their arse, feeling a little bruised as they fall foul of the fakery.
Never one to let the grass grow under his feet, Commander Vulcarius has set off on a new mission to inform, educate, and if he blows up, to entertain. Like the joint efforts with Alex Zuno, it may look daunting and of the "but why would you" variety, but as with their ventures, the answers are because it's there, and shared knowledge benefits everyone. And so Vulcarius has set off to... No, I'll let him tell the story.
The journey to Colonia has begun, with no turning back. Rules, new commander, solo, travel only by jumping, all jumps reduce distance to Colonia, max one drop per system and no carriers. This challenge favours exploration, allows trade and is not balanced for combat. I'm attempting it myself, intending to follow the Colonia Bridge and aiming to produce a route which new commanders can follow to get a strong start and plenty of travel knowledge. My plan is to get a hauler as soon as possible, invest in a DSS and buy a dolphin, just as I leave the bubble. My first destination for the hauler was the Maticucloc system, 36 light years away, with a 1E fuel scoop and no weapons or shield, and a few resets to get it right. I jumped down to LHS 3719 and then towards the White Dwarf, Lord 84, for a jagged 8 jump path worth 100,000 credits in FSS data. A further 7 jumps scored another 30,000 from systems close by, which will help fund the DSS. Upon arrival and docking at the excellent Imperial starport, Rutherford City, the data sale awarded me mostly aimless, and the Pilots Federation paid me an extra 100,000, or even 10,000, for failing to jump to draw me earlier. Between universal cartographics, the Pilots Federation, and replacing my new Aula's optional modules with the free ones from the Sidewinder, I now have well over 20 light-year range, a large fuel scoop, upgraded core modules, 8 sinks, and cover for 2 rebuys. Not a bad start for any commander, let alone one which refuses to jump away from Colonia. I expended 20% of the available bubble radius getting to this point, so I should plan carefully if I want a decent dolphin. That said, a tricked-out Aula, not a bad option either.
We expect more updates from Volcarius as he continues on his quest to go from Galactic Zero to Galactic Hero. And who knows, this could pave the way for new, ambitious startup guides for pilots who just want to get to Colonia and bask at Hanky's feet. And yes, I'm aware there's a word for people like that, but we don't judge.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Okay, Haxwing. Tharg continues to mess around in the bubble, so we need to help him find out. There are new attacks today in the HIP-38225, Parthini, and Pokemon systems.
Oh, hey, I played that before.
What?
Pac-Man. That's an old, primitive game from old Earth. It's pretty repetitive, but it's kind of fun. I can show you where to get the ROM for it on Galweb.
Corporal.
Yes, Commander?
One, not the time. Two, it's the Pokemon system, not Pac-Man. Now, may I continue?
Yes, sir.
We still have a minimal Goid presence in Gabia and a moderate presence in Melanges. Let's finish kicking Tharg out so we can move on to the newly attacked systems in the bubble. No stations were attacked in the new incursions, so the faster we can kick Tharg out, the better our chance of preventing innocent lives being lost. Keep track of Thargoid activity at Thargoid.watch. There are still 5 stations needing repair supplies, and Operation Ida's current repair target is Shiril Orbital in Haki. Join in to haul for a good cause and check out OperationIda.com for more information. It looks like we're in a new bubble invasion. Last time we had hundreds of stations damaged across the bubble. We can't let that happen again. Watch out for each other, keep your eyes on the signal sources, and always be ready to defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
Whilst, for the last 3 months, the upper hand, at least in causing trouble terms, has been with EGPU, often referred to as the Eggypoos, over in Paladin Space, there are rumours that the tide may have turned in recent days. Following a galactic symposium on system influence and a special session dedicated to being naughty and the side effects thereof, it appears that the Pilots Federation have been taking a close look at all the naughty people in the galaxy. It turns out that a number of loopholes were available in the political measuring system, the only one in the galaxy that doesn't use bananas or giraffes or London buses, meaning that the unscrupulous commanders were able to pretend to support a faction and then run away giggling with the mission instructions before throwing them in a shredder at the first opportunity, plummeting the popularity of politicians from that faction and stirring up unrest. Not only that, and this one shouldn't be a surprise, but smugglers were being bad. Not just ordinary bad by bringing things into systems that were on the shadier side of the legality line, but then bribing local station personnel to magnify, multiply and exaggerate what was going on to the extent that a bit of hooky stolen cargo was being filed under major criminal enterprise and someone had deleted the tick box marked for personal use. Even the smallest smuggling session was sending security personnel into a frenzy. One commander who had a little nicotine gum stuck to the bottom of one shoe caused an entire station lockdown, a war and numerous arrests. We are glad to say that the Eggypoo's tactic of employing skullduggery in the smuggling arena the day after a war ended, of course always with the loss for them, appears to have been sufficiently stomped on. Alvin Fear of Hutton has sent a message to say that he's looking forward to the conclusion of Operation Breastplate and to awarding some Hutton mugs to the top commanders contributing over the last few months. Well, what he actually said was, "Whoa, and rah, 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 rah." Then he wagged his tail a bit, rolled over to have his belly tickled, but, you know, we all know what that means. If, of course, his canine predictions come true, it means that Hutton Commanders can get back to paying attention to the next article.
Well, wasn't that an exciting week in Hutton space? Two world wars and now, hopefully, a World Cup and a bit of peace and calm. As the Master Control Situation display board here in mop cupboard number 2 came close to running out of red and orange warning bulbs this week. More on those stories later. Despite a glimmer of hope, that Barnard Star has had a hard look at itself in the mirror, run a hand over its tired, stubbly face, had a word with itself and decided to sort out its life. Well, it hasn't. It threw a sickie and went back to bed and has returned to its old hopeless ways on 25%. As usual, the other factions are squabbling amongst themselves, so there's only 10% of system influence in play to change matters. We have to go a whole 10 points higher into the mid-30s to find our next ailing systems, this time Avic on 35. However, Avic's sick note does say that it has had two wars with Sirius Corporation and a recent positive test for outbreak, but is now generally on the mend. Well done, Chuckers, for relieving the outbreak and fighting off Sirius for the second time in as many weeks. Losing the first day, but winning the next four on the trot. Joining Avic on 35% is Ross671, which has been out of sorts recently and just needs a bit of chuckly love, fevered brow mopping and influence boosting. During the week, in Leuton 145-141, we accidentally blundered into a war with the Minutemen, who held up their hands and said, "Nothing to do with us, Gov." Thankfully, completed this afternoon in a wholly amicable fashion with no fuss at 4-0 to Hutton and leaving the system on just 40%. Hillpass Psy saw a brief pirate attack in the week, but such was the ferocity of the trucker response, they thought better of it and disappeared back up their own fundament. LP532-81 is being attacked by terrorists, which may sound terrible, but from a BGS point of view, I have no issue with it as they're on 77%, which is just, well, wrong. Am I saying that truckers should go in there and shoot some pirates? No, I'm not. Maybe next week, when they've reduced its influence levels the hard way. Let this be a lesson, LP532-81, and the rest of you, stop dumping data there just because it's an LYR system. The push for control of Wall 562 continues with Hutton still hovering a dozen points or so adrift of Wolf 562 Major Inc., the controlling faction, who are on only 39%. Let's maintain the effort, people. It's only a matter of time. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have six systems above 60%, three of which are over 70, and so we're expanding again. Remember, peeps, don't boost or dump data into systems that are above 60%, or we just waste an expansion and waste time and effort withdrawing. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, Avic and Ross671 need a boost, and if an opportunity opens later in the week to assist Barnard Star, be all over it like a cheap Maverick suit.
The community is busy, busy, busy with events and expeditions, and this week we've heard from All the Clouds in the Sky, the Magellan Experience, the Nexus Exploration, Trip Omega Phase 2, Dust the Stun, Still Rise in the East, in the East, Bookie Ball Races and the Aquarian Job, Bobby Burns Bonkers Send Off. Links will of course be posted in Twitch chat and also in description of the YouTube upload. Listening to Commander DeLuvelian's expedition All the Clouds in the Sky report this week, I can't help but feel that it's all sounding a bit ice cold in Alex, and that BMS very soon feature in these weekly updates.
Expedition Day 185, Messier 78. Yes, we're still here, but it looks like there's something we need to do. First of all, though, I just wanted to say that I miss my regular transmissions, and it feels very empty without those. Walking the long corridors of the Zodiac, I feel just lonely. Back then, when I was able to meet regularly with the crew, everything felt more lively. And it's not that we've lost contact overall, but short messages can't replace real interactions. I just hope that one day we'll be back on track and our standard routines will come back to normal. Oh, as I said, we need to do something. We all know that Brewer Corp sent a couple of interesting advertisements in regards to outfitting new modules for their carriers. I'm absolutely up for it. And even if xenobiological discoveries are not necessarily the priority, I surely need a drink, and so does the entire crew, I suppose. Outfitting a nice tavern and hiring a bartender is definitely a priority for me. Sitting in my office, I've planned everything. And I think that tonight, or at most in a day or two, the Zodiac will turn around and as quickly as possible return to one of the carrier service locations to introduce the necessary improvements. Stay tuned, Commanders. 07.
Commander Richard Fluvinez M has news of the remaining pilots in his expedition.
The Magellan Experience is approaching its end, but it's not quite there yet. While the Richard's Olympic fleet carrier is almost at the end of the expedition, the other carriers are slowly going towards the last waypoints as the expedition got a 1 month extension for those who are behind. Nevertheless, a great number of people have finished the expedition, and we hope that they might come for more when the gates open this summer.
Commander Caboose has an update from Nexus, including news of our favourite fleet carrier. After the announcement of the Pilots Federation affecting hot boxes and hot PSs, the Gary Horgan has stalled its departure until the plans for allowing pilots to transfer to a new body, complete with legs, are announced. Hopefully, the ownership of the Gary Horgan will be transferred, along with its funds and resources, over to a non-hotbox holder. The Legacy of Dawn, however, after a unanimous vote from the crew, will begin its return journey to the bubble this Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, ending its extended stay in deep space. The Gary Horgan, once transfer is completed, will then be funded and prepped for an indefinite stay at Outpost Demilade. The Legacy will depart with a live stream on the Nexus official Twitch channel, showcasing the much-anticipated Fleet Carrier Interiors update. Commander Radiums has taken time from a busy schedule of exploring to tell us how Trip Omega's going.
Trip Omega, Titan Contractor's latest expedition trip, continues its second phase of its journey. Since our last update, an additional 7 generation ships have been explored. The famed Golconda, Hyperion, Lazarus Expedition, Lycaon, Odysseus, Phanes, and Phobos. 4 more generation ships remain and will be followed by interesting sights in and around the bubble, including Meteran Hollow, Betelgeuse, as well as a system containing several black holes, an abandoned settlement in the Coalsack Nebula leading to the start of the Azimuth Saga, and more. Likewise, in theme with Update 11, the Solaris has also received a refit of its livery, adding a new service and giving the carrier a fresher look, which is all tied into our narrative as well. Additionally, 200 million credits is still up for grabs for one commander who wins our trip challenges, which will conclude on the 21st of March. Check out our website and Discord for more information. Fly safe!
Expedition Does the Sun Still Rise in the East? In the East? Is well underway, and its leader has sent us this message on the back of a Wish You Were Here postcard.
Commander the Presence here again. Week 2 into the expedition and things are pleasantly pleasant. Been to some lovely places such as the Boxing Ring at WEPAAEGYG1378 and did indeed crash into the ring around the M-class star, but luckily with only minor damage to my modules. It was one of those now you don't, now you see it moments, which proves that when flying in space, adrenaline is brown coloured. Happily enough, there was a carrier near the Triple Ripple, try saying that without sniggering, system at Waypoint 3, so in exchange for all my cartographic data, my panels were bashed out and my back door was bashed in place. A good friend of mine, Commander the Huntsman, is already succumbing a little to space madness, I think, as he's keeping pace with me on the expedition, but has plotted his route so far, almost exclusively using black holes and Herbig stars. I've talked to him at length about this, and yes, he was lying back in his pilot seat, a psychiatrist's chairs, and pretty hard to find out here. And the most lucid answer I could get from him was that he was determined, nay, obsessed, with finding an Earth-like world around a Herbig star. At the last count, he has visited over 200 of these with a sprinkling of 65 black holes. This is very impressive, especially as he forgot his fuel scoop. Still, if this is what floats his candle, then more power to his arm, and I hope he finds what he's looking for. I might tell him to check the dark side of every Earth-like just in case there are lights on, though. In the meantime, I just hope he remembers my advice to combat space madness. Never answer the door, no matter how loudly they knock. Till next week, TTFN.
Those Pokeball racers never seem to rest. Something about they can't catch you if you don't stop running. But Alec Turner has been able to smuggle out this announcement. Right then, folks, it's time to dust off those Cobras and get them shipped across to the London Relay in the Epsilon Indy system. Race week is nearly upon us again. Starting this coming Saturday, 19th of March, and running until following Sunday, 27th of March, we have the second race in the Magic 8 Ball Championship, a reboot of 3303's Aquarian Job. For this race, which includes a 15km SRV stage, you will need to race using horizons as the planetary terrain around Cooper Arena forms a significant part of this challenge. It's also a no-shields race. Just power them off in the regulation Cobra class, with time bonuses for damage, so you can probably kiss your no-claims bonus goodbye. Don't forget to hand in any exploration data before you start. Full details can be found in our forum thread. With thanks and appreciation to this month's race host, Brother Sabathius. Team Hotbox have arranged a memorial for one of their fallen commanders. Bobby Burns Bonkers send-off will take place Saturday 26th of March at 2000 UTC. Mr. Venezia had this to say.
This will be a memorial service for Bobby Burns, followed by some pirate hunting in memory of Bobby. We will meet at Bonkers Station in Wolves 25. Please feel free to wear and skin your ship in pink for Bobby. We will hold a memorial service, share our favourite memories of Bobby, and raise a toast in his honour. PC commanders with the Xbox app installed are welcome to join us in party chat. It would be great to hear your voices. After the service, we will all head to Hazres, where we can shoot up some pirates and have some laughs in the style of Bobby.
There will be more about this sad story immediately after the news. Know of any events that we are not covering? Email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and fill us in with the details.